Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
And we've got our first guest in already, haven't we, Maggie?
We have. It's only Richard Smout. Good afternoon, Richard.
Good afternoon, Maggie. Good afternoon, Calvin.
Good afternoon. Now, you've come all that way from the County Records Office. Well, is it the Records Office?
The Records Office.
Which
right,
is literally just round the corner from us.
Yeah, yeah. And downhill.
And downhill, yes.
On the way here.
Harder to get back.
Yes.
Yeah. So, last time, you came in last time, you said, I've got some parish accounts. And we thought, really?
Okay.
And then you weaved this wonderful story around.
Fascinating
story. So what have you got for us this week?
Well, I'm sticking with the parishes this week.
Okay.
But I'm looking at parish boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you'll be alarmed to know I've got a bit of a quiz for you.
Oh, no.
we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Because places aren't always in the parishes that you would expect them to be.
Okay.
And boundaries change over the years. So I thought we would look at where places were a couple of centuries ago and just try and work out what parishes they would have been in. So my starter is...
Is this a starter for 10?
Starter for 10,
yep.
Yes, absolutely. Is Yarmouth Mill.
Yarmouth, well now, I know where Yarmouth Mill is.
I don't know where Yarmouth Mill is.
It's next to what used to be the railway line, kind of, near the station.
Absolutely, yep.
On the sort of the estuary there, really.
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Okay. You don't know.
I'm completely lost, yes.
If you're coming from our way, you go across the bridge, you can see it in the distance, sort of, to the right-hand side,
okay.
Yes.
It's almost got its foot in the water, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it has, yes.
Yeah, right. So. Do you want to give me an idea for
parish? Yarmouth.
Parish, well, yeah, you'd immediately go for Yarmouth.
Yeah, well, called Yarmouth Mill, you'd have thought it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Actually, technically, it's in Thorley Parish.
Oh.
Because that stream that is running between Yarmouth Town and the mill is the parish boundary. So that would have been, Yarmouth Mill in Thorley. Yeah.
Okay.
Fascinating.
But it gets worse. So, I wonder about Wootton High Street. What parish would you put Wootton High Street in?
Wootton High Street now. I mean, the obvious one is Wootton, but...
Could be Wootton Bridge.
Yeah, it could be Wootton
Bridge.
Could
be Ryde.
Ryde, it's a bit... If I'm thinking in older parishes, it's a bit far out of Ryde to be Ryde. So...
Perhaps it's Wootton.
Perhaps it's just Wootton then.
You're trying to catch us out.
Well, I did consider trying to catch you out, but actually the answer is Arrowton.
Really?
Which is probably further away than Ryde.
It's miles from Arrowton.
Yeah. So Arrowton used to go all the way up to, up the Brittlesford Road, and included Lakeside, but both sides of Wootton High Street. And Wootton itself was a tiny parish, really, really small, and very much focused on St Edmund's Church, although there were some other scattered bits of it around around the area. But yes, that would have been Arrowton Parish, and indeed even the little cottages at the foot of the hill that goes up Kite Hill.
Yes.
They would have been the ones on the with the flag on the south side of the road. They would have been in Arrowton as well.
Yeah, but there'd been nothing there, would there? Not all the shops we got now. So I suppose, got to include it somewhere.
If you say Wootton, because today's my vision of Wootton is it's quite a busy place. It's not huge,
but it's quite a busy place. Yeah.
Arrowton is very rural, hardly anybody there, yet the parish was huge.
And it's partly an issue about where the ancient settlements are, and obviously Arrowton was a really early settlement. It's got Saxon work in the church. But, I mean, Wootton is early. St Edmunds is an early church, but it just didn't have much land attached to it.
Right.
One of the examples I use most is Ryde. So if you think about Union Road in Ryde in the 1830s, say,
yes.
Where would you put that as a parish?
Ooh. So that's the big one that goes down downhill. That you're going to tell me it's split in half or something, aren't you?
No.
I'd say Ryde.
Well, yes, I mean, there's the big church on the corner there, not far from, you'd imagine it was in that parish.
Yes, but sometimes churches are just chapelries. So the St Thomas's Church, which would have been around in there, was actually a chapelry of New Church. So Ryde was part of New Church Parish.
Really?
And as it grew, of course, people became less and less prepared to walk over the downs to Newchurch. I mean, that's quite a trek. And so they would set up a local chapel help, you know, deal with the services and have burials. And
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it becomes more practical if you've got a lot more people there.
That's right. And then at the other end of the of the island, Ventnor was also parish of Newchurch.
Oh, wow. That was a big parish.
That was a big parish. So they tend to be quite strip-like, and they go from coast to coast, although quite often they've been broken up over a period of time. But Newchurch is the classic example of that. Oh. And again, they build St Catherine's Church in the 19th century as Ventnor starts to develop as a resort. And nobody's going to go over to Newchurch if they are, you know, holidaying in
no, these were quite, I mean, Ventnor was for well-to-do people, wasn't it?
Yes, I mean, it certainly becomes increasingly that way as it becomes a sort of health resort and that sort of thing. And of course, the other thing that the parish, the Anglican Church, has to deal with is that there's nothing to stop a chapel, so the Methodists or a Baptist or Congregational Church, putting their chapels where they want to. So if they don't keep up with the game, then everybody will just go to another denomination's church.
I didn't realise that.
And they'll get the money from the collection. So it became necessary to tackle that. And
That's interesting, because it's broken by assumption that people in those areas went to the church of their religion. But if it was one more handy, they went and worshipped God somewhere else.
Well, I mean, it's enormously varied, isn't it? I mean, when Methodism started, it wasn't hugely different from the Church of England. And yes, I mean, if it's a choice between not getting to church and getting somewhere, then there were pragmatic choices made, yes, I think, in some cases. So, yes, they're becoming important considerations. So down the road from Ventnor at Steephill Cove.
Yes.
What parish would you put that one in?
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, we're going to say St Lawrence or something now.
Logical.
But not.
Sandown. No, but
not. God's Hill.
Ah, I see. It all appears to be in the middle of the island, doesn't it, in a way? God's Hill. Yes, okay. It's still a fair way from God's Hill, but...
Yes.
Yes, it's near Ventnor, which would be,
It's a nightmare in terms of sort of journeys, but that would have been how that worked. Just a thin strip. So, and one of these ideas was that each parish should have an example of, you know, sort of a pasture land and arable land and a bit of downland. And so you see it in other places like Lincolnshire, where you quite often get long, thin parishes over a period of time. And that would have been the original model, the sort of conquest period.
The reason for that was to give a varied congregation or
it's just varied sources of income, really, to a parish. So if you're looking at some of the parishes around the back of Wight, places like Bryston and Shorewell, they get carved out of a larger parish. But they were sometimes bequeathed sheep or cattle in wills to the church. And then the church could graze the sheep on the downland or get a tenant farmer to do it for them. So it was useful to have a variety of land so that you could maximise your use of income.
Your bequests.
That's interesting. It's interesting.
And then Chillerton. Now, that one will be an interesting one.
Chillerton's a tiny little village. No offence to people in Chillerton, but it is a very small place. So if we're talking a strip, as before, that's got
Merston, somewhere around there.
Maybe. Or would that go all the way up to... sort of...
It could be Arrowton again.
No. She says, I don't know, it's going to be somewhere...
It's a trick.
Is that going to be somewhere like Shalfleet?
No, I get your logic that you're going north of the Downs. Mm. So this is a trick question, because it is Chillerton was divided between two parishes, neither of which was Gatcombe. So Gatcombe is the closest.
That'd be
church.
The obvious one. Yeah.
It's the obvious one, and therefore it's not the answer. So Chillerton was attached to Carisbrook. Because that
kind
is
of makes sense,
yes,
yep.
that would have been the sort of the remnant of that old strip system. It's what they called a detached portion of a parish. But even more remarkably, Chillerton was also part of the parish of Wootton. So it was the largest part of the parish of Wootton.
That makes no sense at all.
It makes no sense at all, except that it's linked to sort of historic land holdings. There was a family in Wootton called the Delisles, and they would have had land in more than one place, and that is the reason why they've got some of their lands, and some of the parish of Wootton is actually out in Chillerton.
Right.
So that one is probably the weirdest.
I think it is on the island.
Yes, that's a very strange. Now these, of course, are church parishes. Yes. Not the council parishes, which is a completely different thing. And are they much more rational now?
Yes. So in the 19th century, the late 19th century, normally around the 1880s, there was a lot of work done to try and make these areas more logical, which is a very sensible thing to do. But slight sort of source of sadness in the sense of... if you think about Mountjoy and that area around there, and also sort of north of Gatcombe, the parish boundaries were so complicated there. Often there were little tiny thin strips of land that were in one parish, so Carisbrook, and then another strip in Gatcombe parish. And they're a really good visual reminder that we've got of the old strip system that they used to have on fields. Because literally, you know, one strip would have been in Gatcombe and one strip would have been in Carisbrook. So so they appear on the sort of mid-19th century maps, but by the time you get to sort of Edwardian period, 1900, it's all been wiped away.
Well, they've made it a bit more easy to understand in some ways.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
That makes sense. I mean, you would do that, but as you say, it's nice to know that these things were, well... that they developed historically, didn't they?
Yes, yes.
But suppose that some of these parishes no longer have a church?
Well, most of them do still have churches, actually. So the survival of churches is very strong. But obviously some of those congregations are quite small.
Well, some churches have been sold off, hasn't they, as houses? And
yes, that's quite unusual in terms of these early churches.
Oh, right.
And sometimes it happens in terms of some of the chapels have been converted into housing. But for the sort of historic parish church, I can't think of an example on the island of a building that's sort of pre-19th century that's happened too. And the other thing is that people used to beat the bounds, so they literally used to walk the boundaries of the parish. So you can imagine how long that used to take. So when they did it in Carisbrook in about 1804 or something, it would take 3 or 4 days to beat the bounds because they were going around all these little fields that were tucked into other parishes, and they had to go off to Chillerton and, you know, do that bit, and that was a day.
Did they just actually walk around, or did they do anything to mark these?
Well, sometimes they used to... They sometimes would sort of, you know, stop at certain boundary areas and mark it, or...
The more modern equivalent
would be a prayer or something.
Might ride on a horse if they didn't want to walk.
Yeah, I don't... yes, I think most people did just physically really? Walked it, yes.
I mean, this may be completely the wrong subject, but you sometimes see parish markers on buildings and things.
Yeah.
Are they part of the church parish boundaries, or are they the sort of administrative boundaries?
Normally, the markers that you see are going to be church boundaries. I mean, the best one that I know is on the Esplanade in Ryde, where the boundary between Ryde, which of course was Newchurch, and the sort of Apley side of Ryde, which was St Helen's parish. So there's a stone there on the south side of the road if you walk from Ryde Castle towards the Ryde Canoe Lake. Mm-hmm. On that side of the road, there's a little stone there, and you can see it's got St H on one side of it, on the east side, and it's got N for Newchurch on the other side. Ah. So that actually shows you where that boundary was.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you for that. That was again so fascinating. I could talk to you for hours about this stuff.
My head hurts now with that quiz.
But no, it's just
spring it on you.
So if you wanted to see the parish boundaries on a map, how far back would you go, should you say?
I would look at there's a really good sequence of ordnance survey maps in the mid-19th century, in the 1860s, that we've got, and that would lay out very clearly for you what those parish boundaries are.
That's intriguing stuff.
And so if you had... Did they tax or have tithes from the people who were on that?
Yes, I mean, much land was tithable, and the parishes also could raise a church rate, certainly until the early 19th century. So the parish that you were in would be the one that would just determine how much you paid in your taxation. And of course, if you're doing stuff like family history, it's absolutely essential to know that what parish your ancestors were living in, because you could be looking for them in the wrong place.
Yeah. Indeed, yes.
Or on a census return, because they tend to be quite self-contained. And you know, if you wrote in Yarmouth and they were in Thorley, then you would only get Yarmouth.
So
it would throw them out.
Thank you, Richard. We'll see you again next month for some more fascinating facts from
the
history of the Isle of Wight. And just because if people want to drop into your place, they can do, can't they?
Yes. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, 9:30 to 12:30 and 1:30 to 4:30. If you can give us a ring before you come, which is 823820, that will just help us help you better.
Okay, magic.
Thank you very much.
Your support matters. We operate thanks to the support of local businesses. If you would like to advertise on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, contact our team today. Marketing at vectisradio.fm.